Good morning and welcome to Monday morning, October the 16th in 2023 on When I Arise. Today we begin year A, proper week 24, which is the 21st Sunday after Pentecost. And on the Monday of the week, we like to pick up the Old Testament passage, which comes to us from this week from the Revised Common Lectionary in this week of the church's calendar year. And so we find ourselves back in the book of Exodus. I think this is the last week in Exodus. Exodus chapter 33, verses 12 through 23. So let me read that passage. Provide a couple points for reflection, and then we'll spend our time praying along the theme that we find there. Thanks for making us part of your morning on When I Rise. Let's allow our souls to rise and meet God together in a time of prayer. Exodus chapter 33, verses 12 through 23. Moses said to the Lord, "You have been telling me, lead these people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. You have said, 'I know you by name, and you have found favor with me.' If you are pleased with me, teach me your way so I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember, this nation is your people." The Lord replied, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." Then Moses said to him, "If your presence does not go with us, don't send us up from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all other people on the face of the earth?" And the Lord said to Moses, "I will do the very thing you have asked, because I am pleased with you and I know you by name." Then Moses said, "Now show me your glory." And the Lord said, "I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I'll proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion." But he said, "You cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live." Then the Lord said, "There is a place near me where you may stand on a rock. When my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft in the rock and cover you with my hand until I pass by. Then I will remove my hand and you will see my back, but my face must not be seen." This is the word of God for us. I think this passage is brimming with a lot of observation. I think more than what it does than anything else is it, I think, shines a light on what religious leadership looks like. So here's Moses having this heart-to-heart with God. And we see just behind the curtain of what it was like to have the mantle of leadership, to have the opportunities to lead a group of people, but also the burdens of it. And there's a couple things maybe that I would tease out in it. First thing is that God seems to be in a category of his own, and God wants to interact with the pleas and the prayers and the hopes of his leaders. You notice that there's some places in this passage where God says, like, "I will have mercy upon whom I have mercy, and I'll have compassion about those who I want to have compassion for." So God is seemingly on his own, but like right before that, God says, you know, "Because you've been pleasing to me, like, I want to go with you." And so there's a sense where Moses is able to hold court with God and to make requests, and God is genuinely interacting with that request and considering Moses' point of view and considering Moses' case. And God is also standing alone. So I think a good theology would hold this intention, right? It would say it's not one or the other. It's both in a mystery where God does move ahead on his own behalf, and God does dynamically interact with his people. And so I think that's important for us to keep in mind, particularly as we lead people, that as we spend time with God and seek God's wisdom and direction of what to do next, that we do have license to lay bare our requests to. And God doesn't say, "Okay, once you're done with all that, I'll finally tell you what I think alone and uniquely away from anything that you care for." It's not like that entirely. I think God does dynamically interact with our intentions and the things that we even see on the ground here. And God sees them too, but he does want to dynamically interact with us. My friend Jason Clausen says that it's hard to steer a parked car, right? I think in the same way, as leaders, we need to get the car moving in the sense of we need to lead. We need to think of, okay, what's going on out there? And what can I glean from my previous experience? And what's the wisdom advice from people who are around me? And go to a place of prayer and say, "God, this is where I see. I see us kind of doing this and deciding these things and neglecting these things for the sake of being able to have space to do these things. Now tell me what you think of it, God." And I think God will hear our requests and in a dynamic way will begin to work with us in our own observations and hopes and plans. And then God will ultimately steer the best redemptive way forward. So I think that is one of the things that God does within this passage. I think also, like, there's a sense where God is on his own team, but he's also wanting to be on his people's team. And you got to love this posture from Moses. He's like, I don't want to go another place further unless you're going to go with us. The nations are going to be watching us, and they're going to either threaten us or they're going to avoid us. And the basis of all that and our any hope or expectation of surviving it all is that somehow your reputation can go in front of us. And so I think it's just good that when we're reading the term glory, a lot of times I feel like this is an empty word in our common parlance. I think when people run out of things to say, they say, well, God, for your own glory and your name, do these things. I think if we get down to the Bible, what it says, glory is the reputation or the reaction that people have when they hear this name or this idea or this topic or this brand name. That's the Bible's language is the glory of it, right? The heaviness, the weightiness that comes with this. And so Moses is like, we're getting ready to come out undercover. And we've been a vulnerable people. We're coming up out of slavery, out of Egypt. We're going to be out in the open. We're going to be on the open market to be exploited or to be avoided. And we are not going to survive unless your reputation goes in front of us. And therefore, Moses was being stubborn in a good way. He's like, we're not going to go anywhere unless you go with us. And God does promise to glorify his own name and to honor his people. I think this is the big, bold prayer of the people of God today, right? I think sometimes we have earned a reputation as God's people in the different cultures that we come from. Sometimes we've earned that honestly. Sometimes we have earned that mistakenly. People have exaggerated their experiences with the people of God. But I think also we've earned it, both the positive and the negative of it. And so I think one of the chief prayers that we should be offering to God and have the response after praying it to God shape our imaginations is to say, God, we want the Jesus reputation, and we don't want to use Jesus. We don't want Jesus to be our brand name or to be our brand sponsor. Like, we don't want you to, like, you know, we don't want you to, like, use your fame to make us better. But we genuinely want to be Jesus people, that if people were to follow us around and dig through the trash, if they were to go to the teachings of Jesus, and to, if they were aware of the way in which Jesus people have been following Jesus from the beginning, like, we wanted to correlate with that. So above everything else, God, there's like an expected reputation of the church that's been earned honestly, or it's been given to us, that's not so helpful. So from here on out, can we have the honest presence of Jesus among us? Once again, not to exploit it, but because we adore you, you're the lover of our souls. And so we want to be known to be Jesus people, not just people who talk about Jesus all the time, right? I think that would be a good and honest prayer, not just for this morning as we allow our souls to rise and meet God, but for the next season ahead, because there's a lot of confusion about who Jesus is and about what his people should do. So may the season ahead be a season of great clarity where we throw off the things that really don't honor the name of Jesus, and more fully embrace the things that traditionally and totally do. So with those things in mind, let's spend some time praying to our God this morning. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we thank you today that you saw fit to include us into your family. So we are now and forever known as the Jesus people. And Jesus, we just confess to you that at times we do not honor your name deeply. And so we thank you that with you there is wisdom and there's grace. You will give us grace in the shortcoming, but wisdom to be transformed so that we can be in deeper faithfulness. And so God, this day, as we think about what it means to be Jesus people, we want to do the diligent work of removing those things which have gained maybe affiliation with you that doesn't ultimately belong to you. And so God, we ask that you would give us the help and the courage to lay those things to the side and have the courage to go seeking for better answers, to better habits, and a better faithfulness for the days ahead. God, we know that you love this world and you are repairing it from the middle of its mess until the whole universe is mended and back whole again. And that includes us and its movement through us. And so God, this day, help us to know Jesus at a deeper level so that we can be more faithful and we can embody the expectations of our God to the ends of the earth. And we just do pray for the people of God that in the very next season ahead, that there'd be a sense of renewal among us, that we'd find a great comfort and ease to let go of the things that are distracting, that encumber our way forward. And as we look to you, Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, that we may look more and more like you so that the world might know there's grace and there's forgiveness and there's hope in the world all around us. So God, be with us as we seek to plot the way of faithfulness ahead. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.